Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Let's try a trifecta.
Just the 10 commandments.
Wondering, what the hell is this trifecta? Well, let me tell you, the trifecta is going to make your life better.
I love the trifecta.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Happy Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're bummed. You wanted to see some Cubs baseball, maybe a little Timmy Anderson. I saw so many tweets of people saying, hey, I circled this game. I wanted to see TA. I was headed. Nope. According to MLB.com, an incoming storm led to the proactive postponement of the Cubs' scheduled game against the Marlins on Thursday when the Northsiders were set to open a seven-game homestand at Wrigley Field. This, according to Jordan Bastian of MLB.com, going to be a doubleheader on Saturday. Jameson Taillon supposed to start today. So that'd be interesting to see when it's happening there. But you get me instead. Let's go, baby. 3 hours, me and Alex Kuhn producing today, going all the way till 9 o'clock. Of course, you're going to get the trifecta. These are the top three stories that have been living in my brain all day today, if this is your first time here. And then after the trifecta, what does Billy Donovan think about this rematch with the Miami Heat? I'll play that for you after we get started.
Number three.
Of course, the Bulls won yesterday. Big one. Big one. I was out with Mark Grody. Ray Diaz was there. I couldn't believe we were out in Oak Park. Oak Park boys in full effect. And we went out to Avenue Ale House. But I'm the type of person, and I tried to get this out of both Grody and Ray Diaz, where it was like, hey, where did you guys usually watch Chicago playoff games at? Right? Is that Ray back there? That is. There he is. Where did you usually do these things? Grody would tell me about some bar in Schaumburg that he used to go to with his boys, stadium or something like that was packed. I would always have my cousins and everything over, like, my house. But the thing is, I like to be laser-focused on the game. Don't talk to me. Don't ask me what kind of protein I want of the nachos. I'm laser-focused.
And so you're the antisocial watcher like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to watch this together. I don't want to be watching this and you're doing something else. Anyway, so we were struggling trying to get some food on the table. Eventually, though, Bulls ended up winning 131-116. There were some ebbs and flows to the game. But Kobe White most certainly had himself a game. I mean, what can you say about Kobe? He's had a roller coaster ride of a year, but for the most part, to do this in the what I would still call the playoffs is absolutely impressive. And Kobe talked a little bit about his game.
I'm just grateful to be where I'm at. Like I said, like that first playoff series I ever had in my career didn't go how I wanted to go. And then last year, obviously, I played better in the play-in. And then this year, you know, I didn't come into the game saying like I was going to put the team or whatever. But I just wanted to be aggressive and take what the defense gave me and, you know, just try to lead. Coming to the games, I just want to impact winning on both ends of the ball. And that's what I focus on. And then just tonight, like I just was aggressive and, you know, things was going my way. So.
Kobe, do you remember what you said about Jalen Brunson about 8 days ago? What you called him?
Yeah, he said, I said he a mother.
Do you think the guy's not a...
That's what I said.
Do you think the guy's in that opposing locker room will be saying the same thing about you right now?
I hope so. I mean, I don't know. I hope so. Like I said, I'm just grateful. So I don't know what they're saying, but I hope so.
Kobe White had himself a day, 43 minutes. 42 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Kobe White certainly putting on the show. It's when he plays with extreme confidence that he performs exceptionally well. He certainly did last night. A lot of other people putting in work. DeMar DeRozan, 22. Vooch, 24. Io, 19. Vooch with 12 rebounds. I mean, it was a really good game for the Chicago Bulls on offense and defensive side of the ball. And we'll play with some more audio again from some others who felt the exact same way.
Number 2.
Billy Donovan obviously talked to the media afterwards. And, you know, Bulls lost the last time they faced the Atlanta Hawks. They struggled with that team, specifically their three-point shooting. But he talked about what was different this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of the last time when they came in here and won without Trey was, you know, we did not get downhill as much as we needed to. We weren't as aggressive, in my opinion, as we needed to be. And like I said, the three-point line is a factor for them. We're probably not going to get the volume of threes that they get up. You know, the other part of it, too, that we needed all the points in the paint tonight was the fact that we fouled too much. You know, we put him to the free throw line. The free throw discrepancy tonight was pretty dramatic. You know, from the standpoint that they didn't shoot it great from three, but like if they would have shot it normal from three with the fouls, you know, it's a different probably game, you know, at that point. But I give our guys credit because I thought we did a really good job at the point of the screen, and then we contested really well. And then offensively, the mentality, I think, to get downhill and put pressure at the basket was something that was going to be important for us to try to manufacture some easy baskets.
And easy baskets were aplenty. 131 points put up by the Bulls, taking down the Atlanta Hawks next game. Oh, you know, it's against Miami, and we'll hear about what Billy Donovan has to say against that team, and or what he has to say about that team in just a bit.
Number 1.
As Matthews couldn't decide what's going on, and then the high-low feed, Fernando puts it in, and Caruso glided at midcourt with his teammate, Bill.
Drummond. Caruso looked like he was trying to hide, and Drummond was just beelining it back on defense.
Take us through what happened,
and,
Bill.
And he was chasing him, and Drummond thought Caruso was going to keep moving off, and ouch.
Well, it's...
Of course, Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington with the call right there, Billy. Good, glad to have you back. That was a weird play. We're like Drummond didn't see what was going on. And it's the worst when it's your own guys. You heard Kevin Durant talking about it earlier in the week where he's like, the reason I've been healthy all season because my guys haven't been flopping into me. Other people haven't been falling into me. And so with this one, of course, it's like his own player that runs into it. Woj reporting yesterday, Alex Caruso potentially dealing with a sprain in his foot. Excuse me. And Alex Caruso talked about how the whole thing happened himself.
Yeah, he just caught me on my right foot. That leg kind of gave out to my left one, tried to catch me, and I just kind of tweaked my ankle a little bit. That same one that I was dealing with for the last couple weeks of the season that we were managing and figuring out. So try to tape it up, you know, take some more Tylenol and get out there. And I was kind of ineffective, so it was probably better to have some of those guys finish the game. And they did a great job.
It's funny. Alex Caruso, just like me, I take Tylenol whenever I don't feel well either. Except I'm not playing in a professional basketball game. He said he's going to do his best to try to get back out there, knowing Alex Caruso, especially towards the end of the season. He wasn't, you know, playing at 100%, but he wanted to get back out there in that game against New York. I thought it was because it was on national TV. But, of course, we know it's because AC is a grinder. And he's certainly going to try to be out there Friday against the Miami Heat. And if the Bulls beat the Heat and end up playing the Boston Celtics, I would guarantee Alex is going to try to get out there so he can go up against Jason Tatum. There is your trifecta, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a magic number.
Right here on 670 The Score, it is Gabe Ramirez broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers again. No Cubs game today. Even though it's not raining outside, they're like, nah, we don't even want to deal with this. But it was funny because even after the game was postponed, both Cubs and Marlins players were seen taking batting practice. They're like, yeah, we're still going to get it in. Still want to stay fresh. I know it's early in the season, but we'll make it happen. But again, doubleheader Saturday. That's when they're going to make that one up. And, of course, you can catch all games against the Miami Marlins this weekend right here on 670 The Score. I told you I'd play for you a little bit about what Billy Donovan has to say about the Miami Heat. Because, of course, this is going to be a tough matchup. You heard Kobe White talking about it after the game, saying, you know, it's a Heat culture thing. All right, we'll play that for you in a little bit as well. Don't forget, we got Chuck Swirsky hanging out with us at 6:25. Going to be talking some Bulls basketball. I know he was hyped. He was dancing salsa last night with Benny the Bull. Now, I ended up in a video with Chuck once. I think it was the game to beat the Portland Trailblazers.
I remember that video.
Shout out Rich Wyatt. He was like, yo, Gabe. I was like, you know it. You know I'm in.
You kept it cool.
Hey, I tried to get everybody on beat behind me. That was my goal.
You got
to
stay in rhythm.
Hey, you know, I had to. But the Benny the Bull Southside one, you know, trying to throw some shade at Miami. That's, I was here for it. I liked it. So we'll get to talk to Chuck about that, 6:25. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about, you know, this Bulls team going up against the Miami Heat. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one, but I do think the Bulls should win. If you swap out a Jimmy Butler for an Alex Caruso, you know, it's like in chess. You know, we're taking their queen and they're taking our bishop or our knight right there.
Like, Alex Caruso, he's going to play, isn't he?
No.
You don't think he's going to?
No. I think he's smart. I think that he wants to play, but he said it right
there.
This
is Alex Caruso, though.
But it's Alex Caruso that also said, I went in, it didn't feel right, and I understood that letting those guys finish would be the best thing for the team. And I think that he'll be smart. And I think Crash Bandicoot is real. He's all over the place. He plays a tough brand of basketball. And unfortunately, at this point in the season, those things pile up. And when you're probably dealing with something, it's not the first time that area has been injured. And so I'm sure it's a re-aggravation of some sort. I would like to think that he would play, but logic would say that he's not going to get out there. But, of course, we'll follow it. I hope he does. It'd be great to have him add a little bit. But guess what? If he doesn't, there's five other Javonte Greens that are going to be ready and willing to take that spot. All right, so Billy Donovan talked about what he thinks about the rematch with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the run they went on, you know, was, you know, incredible last year after our game throughout the playoffs. So, you know, a team that's really battle tested, been in all sorts of moments, it'd be a great challenge on the road. We all have an enormous amount of respect for them, and you know we know how good they are. You'll have to play well, you know, there . You know, they get out, they do a lot of things really, really well, you know, and got a lot of respect for Spo and, you know, their team. And like I said, you know, at this point in time where it's not a series, it's a one-game series, so to speak, there's a lot of things you have to do well. You know, I think that you try to prepare as much as you can in a, you know, 36-hour window, but the reality is there's going to be loose balls, there's going to be hustle plays, there's going to be physicality plays. There's, you know, both teams shoot 50%. You're probably talking about 50 missed shots by both teams. That's a lot of loose balls, you know, and, you know, that's, you know, they obviously are really good at those things and, you know, will be really tested to do a lot of those things at a really, really high level. And then obviously guarding them with the three-point shooting with Hero and Robinson and the way those guys can move and cut and pass. And then Adebayo's, you know, facilitating all that stuff. So there's a lot, you know, in terms of to get prepared for playing against them.
Billy Donovan talking about the matchup with the Miami Heat upcoming here on Friday. You can listen to that one here on 670 The Score. Tip-off begins at 6 p.m. Make sure you're sticking around for that. If you're looking at the Miami game against Philadelphia, low-scoring game. 105-104, of course. Miami put a couple points up at the last second to make it look closer than it actually was. But, you know, Philly was down big in that game. Came back in the fourth quarter. Couldn't believe they overtook the lead. Actually, I could believe it. Joel Embiid is just a monster. But Jimmy Butler played 39 minutes in that game. Only shot 5 for 18. But clearly he's a key component. When you're thinking about the times the Heat faced the Bulls earlier in the season, Jaime Jaquez, the Mexicano, was out there, and he did well, high efficiency inside the paint, you know, running up and down the court. You can see him eating up some minutes. Tyler Harrell played 40 against the Philadelphia 76ers. He shot 3 for 14 from the three-point line. So you know he's putting them up there. Bam loves scoring tons of points against Vooch and being a presence. So, you know, their team's not as scary, right? Like, Duncan Robinson didn't even play in that game. We know he's a shooter, but he didn't play. Patty Mills, someone that eats up the Bulls a lot, he didn't play. So there's going to be some guys that are going to be ready to step up in this one. But if you can contain Bam, and I don't want to say contain Harrell, but limit him, make him take bad shots. 9 for 27 is bad. So if you can keep him right there, I'm sure anybody would live with that. But it's going to be Certainly a good one. Coby White talked about what the matchup might look like against the Miami Heat.
Oh, it's going to be a junkyard fight. It's going to be a dog fight, man. We know Miami. They know us. They got a little different team, a little different personnel. They added DeLon Wright, Patty Mills. So they added some really good players. So for us, we just got to come in ready to compete and, you know, leave it all out there on the floor.
I love that he laughs at the end because he's saying cliches, but he's absolutely right. I mean, the Bulls to put up 131 points is not something that I expected. You knew the Indiana Pacers put up a buck 50-something on them. And they put up 49. I talked about it yesterday with Grody. We were doing a show, and I said, man, you know, Indiana put up 49 points in the first quarter. I said, but on the opposite end of that, Atlanta put up 34. And I said, if the Bulls can't compete with them, you know, putting up points, and they sure did. And I loved it. Efficient scoring, you know, great defense. That's the intensity you got to have. And they're going to need it. Definitely a winnable game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what was more surprising, the Bulls' offense or the way they kind of put Trae Young into a locker defensively?
Yeah, I think the Trae Young thing was the recipe for success. It's something that the Bulls exercised throughout the season. So to me, that wasn't a shock. If you watched any Bulls game over the last 6 months, they were terrible in the first quarter. Terrible. Very rarely did they put up 30 points. And so for them to come out in a critical game like this, and I was talking to Grody about this yesterday. As mentioned, Grody, myself, Ray Diaz, we were at a bar yesterday watching the game together. And I was pointing out that the last time you saw meaningful sports, i.e. a game that mattered, a game of consequence, was the Chicago Bulls last year. So we can say whatever we want about the Bulls and how you think they're trash or whatever, but check this out. When was the last time your team played a meaningful game? And of course, I'm saying our teams, but, you know, not the Bears, not the Sox. Cubs been a while, couple of years. That's a long time when you're thinking about meaningful games that you've watched as a sports fan in your city. So I am grateful for these games. And then I look at, you know, are they supposed to get swept by the Celtics? Yes. Do I still want to watch those games? Yes. Because there's nothing like reminiscing about the Bulls when they were actually good in the playoffs instead of what you're seeing, but you're still watching the playoffs. It's still heightened intensity. You're still going to get a couple games at the UC. It's going to be great. DeMar talked about the Miami Heat as well and what it would be like facing them on Friday.
It means a lot. You know, I remember that plane ride back home vividly. You know, everybody was just frustrated. You know, that feeling sucked. You know, I know for me that was one thing that's on my mind. You know, once I realized we was going back to Miami, it's not to have that same feeling.
The turn up is going to be real, is all I got to say. Like, if I was a party promoter in Miami, I'd definitely be hitting up some of the Miami Heat players. Like, hey, yeah, y'all are going to lose. I know you're going to want to turn up one time before you leave Miami. Come holler at me. And then you got to hit up the Bulls players, like Patrick Williams or something like that. You know, not Kobe. Not Dalen Terry. Dalen Terry and Javonte Green. I'd be hitting those would be the first two dudes I'd hit up. Like, yo, I know you want to go out afterwards. I'm trying to think, when would game one's going to be Sunday on WBBM AM, our sister station. I believe 11:45, if my photographic memory serves me correctly. Alex Kuhn, if you want to double check that for me on the email. 11:45 will be, if they win on Friday, it would be game one of the playoffs. And you could hear that on BBM AM. It's Gabe Ramirez.
You got it right.
Hey.
Look at that memory.
And that's what they. And some people would say that you lose your short-term memory in certain situations. Not me. I got it faded. All right. We are going to talk to Chuck Swirsky in just a little bit. Get his opinion. I know he's excited about yesterday. Chuck is like me where, you know, people are like, oh, Gabe, why are you excited about the Bulls? Why are you excited about the Bulls? They're going to lose in the first round. Why? Oh, AK should have did this 2 years ago. I don't care. You want to know why? Because I'm grateful for the extra game. I love basketball. And I'm not going to see basketball again until late October. So let me live. Let me enjoy my little extra game and then cheer for the Bulls. Get your family, get your friends together. Just like I was talking about in the beginning, do it old school style. Get your people together on a Friday. The Bulls are even having a watch party. Recess out there in the West Loop, Fulton Market area. Go big old space you can watch with a bunch. They're trying to create an atmosphere too. You should be doing the same thing. Embrace it again, because the last time you saw some meaningful sports was a year ago from the Chicago Bulls. All right, Chuck Swirsky, He hangs out with us next. What are his expectations for this game against Miami? We'll get his answer after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Trae Young will put it in play to DeAndre Hunter. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. 131-116. And life remains for the Chicago Bulls.
There are a few people in the city of Chicago that are more excited than I am that the Bulls get an extra game. One of them most certainly is our next guest, the voice you just heard joining us right now on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. It is the voice of the Bulls here on 670 The Score, Chuck Swirsky. Chuck, good evening.
What's going on, Gabe?
You know, excited that the Bulls won, excited in the fashion that they won, excited that there's more Bulls basketball to be played.
Yes, and excited that the Bulls played the Atlanta Hawks. Because I'll tell you what, Atlanta, you know, and credit the Bulls because they took advantage. Atlanta, not a very good defensive team, and the Bulls executed so very well, and they ran on all cylinders. I mean, you had, 72 points in the paint, Gabe?
Yeah. It was interesting, Chuck, because it seemed as though Atlanta looked like the Bulls earlier in the season, where each individual wanted to be the run stopper. And then as a result, it seemed as though it led to friction, whether it was DeJounte Murray taking mid-range jumpers, you know, and then Trae Young felt he wasn't touching the ball enough, so then he was shooting threes like he normally does. But I felt that tension there. And then he said Bogdanovich feeling like he needed to get his turn, Clint wanting to get activated in the pick and roll. It just seemed like five separate guys instead of a team that was playing together.
Yeah, you know what? I would totally agree with you. I think, and again, I'm on the outside looking in. I've only seen Atlanta. This was the fourth time in person. But I think it's a very dysfunctional ball club. And I think they've got a long, hard look at that roster. But that's probably the least of my concerns right now because that's, you know, that chapter is closed. And so now the focus, obviously, is on the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler. And I think the dynamics really, really changed now. If you think about it, Gabe, last year in the play-in game where Miami eliminated the Bulls, they got 31 from Butler and 31 from Strus. Mm. And they're no longer in the mix here. So I never discount Eric Spoelstra because I think he is an elite, elite coach and probably will replace Steve Kerr as the U.S. Olympic coach down the road. So I think they're going to be prepared. I know they're going to be prepared, but I'm looking at this Miami roster, and with the absence of Butler, unless that three ball goes down, which they're capable of doing, but I don't know. I just think that the Bulls have a legitimate shot at beating them on the road because I don't know how Miami's going to score.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bulls themselves, you know, I talked about how, you know, how they played at the beginning of the season, but where they're at right now, it is essentially what AK has been preaching for the last couple of years. They look like a team that has continuity, that has some sort of gel to it, a team that is playing for each other, a team that does have supreme confidence. Right. And I talked about this with Sam Smith the other day, Chuck, where I said, you know, why is this team, you know, playing so hard all the time? Is it simply because DeMar and Vooch are there leading the pack? And then the complementary players that are there, that's how they are wired to play hard. Like when you look at this Bulls team, Chuck, and you're calling, you're seeing them every day and they're in every game, whether it's the best team in the league or the one of the bottom teams in the league, the games are close. They're playing hard, fighting their way in there. What do you think it is? What can you point to from this team, the resiliency that's there? What is the catalyst for it all?
I would say that I think the players genuinely like each other. I think they have very good chemistry. I think they've learned how to play together with the absence of LaVine. I mean, Zach played, how many games? You've got the stats in front of me. What did he play? 20 plus, 25, like somewhere around there. And so I think with the emergence of Kobe and, you know, you've got a really good system in place where the Bulls know that you've got a very gifted offensive low post player in Vooch and not a lot of players, as we saw last night, with Capella trying to play off him a little bit, and Boots likes to take the ball, and he does that pivot, and with the over-the-shoulder baby hook on the block. And I just think the players have an enormous amount of confidence in what they're doing. Now, does that mean that they're an unbeaten team going into the playoffs where, you know, there's a lot of fear on the part of opponents? I think opponents respect the Bulls, but they also know that, you know what, the Bulls need to bring it for 48 minutes. They can't play inconsistent ball. And I think you're going to see a team prepared for Miami tomorrow night. I'm really looking forward to this game.
Talking to Chuck Swirsky here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez here with you. Chuck, I feel like for me personally, when you're looking at this Bulls team, how are they going to beat the Miami Heat? It's about that first quarter efficiency, the way they came out against the Atlanta Hawks. Not digging themselves in a hole that they then need to get out of, which they are very capable of, and they've proved it throughout the season. But it's that first quarter. What if it, in your mind, getting the offense flowing early, if it's like kind of like a fill-in-the-blank situation, in order for the Bulls to have a high output offensively in the first quarter, they need to... Chuck, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost you.
Oh,
go ahead.
No worries. I was more so asking, you know, what do the Bulls need to do to have an efficient first quarter against Miami Heat the same way they did against the Atlanta Hawks?
Well, number one, you've got to be able to move the ball. And, you know, I think your defense really sets up your offense. And in the case of Miami now, I think with the absence of Butler, I think they're going to try and spray the ball around to Robinson and Hero. But I also think that the whole key to me is Bam Adebayo. I mean, I think Bam Adebayo, if you can get him in foul trouble, I think Miami is in big trouble. Bam Adebayo, in my opinion, even though he's headed to another Olympics, this will be his second, and he's a three-time All-Star, I think he's one of the more underrated players in this league. And it's strange saying that for a two-time Olympian, but it's true. And I think that if the Bulls can really work on him and get him in early foul trouble and where he picks up two in the first quarter, I think that you're going to see the Bulls go right down the throat in the paint. And, you know, you talk about Vooch, and we can talk about DeRozan. I'll tell you what, the way Ayo Dosunmu has developed into a downhill driver to the rim is amazing. I mean, he's playing with so much confidence. If you saw video from this year compared to last year, or even the previous 2 years, his rookie campaign, Gabe, you're looking at a completely different player. His skill set is more polished. His confidence is off the charts. He's taking that drive against players, and he's fearless. And so I think that you look at, you know, what Kobe has done and what Ayo has done and the development from one tier to the next in 1 year is simply amazing.
It is absolutely incredible what he's done. I've actually talked to some people, Chuck, throughout the season where I've tried to point that out. I'm like, Ayo's ability to get to the rim is significantly different than it was the year prior. But people would, you know, give me the rebuttal that, oh, he's been doing that since college. And I'm like, but the way he's doing, the confidence that he has when he gets to the cup, whether it's a one-on-four fast break, he doesn't care. He feels confident that he can finish around the rim, and he's been doing it at a high clip for some time. Chuck, I know from a fan's perspective, like myself, I was completely locked in yesterday. You know, it did feel different to me from a fan's perspective, a playoff intensity. What is it like from an announcer's perspective, right? Like getting into the playoff mindset, the different feeling, what is that like?
Well, I'm going to give you an answer, and you may not believe me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And to me, I get up for the same way for a preseason game as I do for a playoff game. And I'm being perfectly honest. I mean, the crowds are different, and you feel the vibe and the energy and the electricity. I get all that, Gabe. But I still prep, and I'm being very, very blunt about this. There is no dichotomy in my workload and the way I view a game and how I put together game notes and my mindset and attention to detail from a Bulls-Hawks preseason game than a Bulls-Hawks play-in game. Because I think the habits you develop today will carry over to tomorrow. And that's why for young people in our communication field, or for that matter, anything that they decide to do, if they bring the passion and attention to detail and the little things that will make sure the staples of a foundation, you don't build a house with a roof. You build a house with a foundation, and then you start building tier by tier, layer by layer, floor by floor. And so to me, going into the game yesterday, was I thrilled beyond belief that the Bulls were playing another game? Yes, because I love my job. But Gabe, you know what? If I started putting priorities on, well, this is a play-in game, and it's more important than game number 62, and game 62 was more important than game 38, and 38 was more important than a preseason game, then you know what? Then it's time for me to hang it up. Mm. And I can't do that. I've never, ever mailed it in. I'm not going to mail it in. And so I treat each game as a gift. And that's how I view my world. And that's the truth.
And that's why you're one of the best, my friend. And we look forward to hearing it Friday right here on 670. The Score, Bulls taking on the Miami Heat. Of course, you can listen to Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington on the call. Chuck, appreciate your time. I look forward to having you on again soon.
All right, Gabe, thank you.
Of course, Chuck Swirsky, voice of the Bulls, letting you know that I am the only one that gets extra excited. He's locked and loaded. That makes sense.
He's not lying. He does treat the first preseason game exactly the same as he does a playoff game. Oh, he's excitable every single game.
Chuck is always buttoned up. Whether it's one of our meetings that we have, whether it's, you know, here in the studio, whether I'm working with him on the game, Chuck is always buttoned up. That is for sure. It's good to hear, though. It's good to hear that he's prepped up that way, because I would have been like, I would have had a couple of extra calls that I've been waiting all season long. You know, I'd have like I don't know if you guys were listening yesterday to the game. He had a call on DeMar DeRozan's dunk, where DeMar essentially went coast to coast, got fouled a couple times. And he had, I know it's cut because Ray Diaz was talking about it, but he had a call. And for me, I'd have just a couple extra that I'd just be saving for the playoffs, like one maybe. You know, like if Stacey King has nicknames for everybody, I'd have like one extra one. So it would be a little different for me. But hey, man, that's why he's the best and I'm...
Well, I think for most people, probably. But Chuck is just, he's the type of person that he's always prepared. He just loves what he's doing so much that...
All right. Well, we are going to chat on the other side. I want to talk a little bit more about what happened with Grody and I and Ray Diaz. And we were at Avenue L House catching up this Bulls game. We had it all to ourselves at the end of the night. Closing time. Stood there past closing time. What were we doing? What were we talking about? Give you a little insight as to what the trio was up to yesterday during the Bulls game. We'll talk about that after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Hell no, because they're only staying off the the end another week, because Boston is going to absolutely demolish them in that first round series if they get there.
That's Nick Friedel with Mully and Hall earlier today talking about the fate of the Bulls, but you shouldn't be laughing, because that's the fate of every team that's going to lose in the first round. Like, whoever loses in the first round of the NBA playoffs, it's not that one team is the worst of all the losers. They're all losers. They all go home at the end of the first round, those that lose. And if you're looking at the money lines that are out there, Denver to win game one against the Lakers is minus 300. That's the longest odds so far of any game. Minus 300 against the Lakers. So, I mean, against Boston, the Bulls, I guess they'll be probably right around there. But then you got to laugh at the Lakers the same way you laugh at the Bulls.
You think they'll win one game?
Who, the Bulls?
I think they will.
Yeah, of course.
Boston will blow one. They have not been great down the stretch of games.
Bulls play hard. So, if you play hard for four straight games, you're bound to win one of them. It's just the way the NBA playoffs work. Teams just have a bad game. And so, especially when you're facing the same one four straight times. So I think the Bulls definitely will get a victory out of it. But it's tough. And Nick Friedel and I, we've had our chats on like NBC sports, when we've done Sports Talk Live back in the day together. I mean, and I like the guy, and he's right. I'm not saying he's not, but it's tough. And we were actually talking about that last night. So it was, so I'm Gabe Ramirez, by the way, 670 The Score. So I was out yesterday. Grody and I, Mark Grody, Gabe and Grody, we did a show last night leading into the Cubs game, or excuse me, the Bulls game. And then we decided, because we both live in Oak Park, we said, hey, man, we're going to, I made him take me home. I was like, hey, why don't you take me to the crib? We'll go get some dinner. And we ended up at Avenue Ale House. So first we went to Poor Phil's in Oak Park, because both Grody and I are new to Oak Park. So we go to Poor Phil's first. That was cool. But they didn't have the sound on. And then we went to Avenue Ale House yesterday, and they were like, we don't usually put the sound on, but they put it on because there were so many Bulls fans there. And that was cool. Because I thought to myself, this is a sports bar, right? There's 30 TVs in here, right? I'm pretty sure we should have the sound on for the Bulls game. So we kind of made a, not a fuss, but Mark Grody did his thing, and then they ended up playing the sound. Ray Diaz comes a little bit later, and the Bulls were up 40-22 after the end of the first quarter. And we thought it was smooth sailing. Said, oh, they're going to blow them out. And then sure enough, start the next quarter, DeJounte Murray just went on a run. And before you knew it, they were down 4 or something like that. So it was a pretty interesting game. Then they, as the game goes on, you know, a guy named Woody stops by, Oak Park Woody, loves the score. Loves the score. Loves Ray Diaz, loves Mark Grody, loves Gabe Ramirez. So he's hanging out with us. So we became a foursome. Giggity. And we ended up watching the game together. And then afterwards, Grody's like, hey, I got to do the daily score. You want to jump on with me? And I'm like, sure. Now, we're thinking this is a bar, right? I've been to bars before. Grody's been to bars. He doesn't drink anymore, but he goes to bars. Ray Diaz certainly goes to bars. And we're thinking, hey, we'd have this like ambiance in the background of people chatting and, you know, TVs on and such. Like, hey, we got this bar vibe. Well, as the fourth quarter is playing, because, you know, the game started late because the Philly game ended late. So it's like 11-something at this point. Well, the bar closes at 11. And now we're one of the few people that are in there. It's like the bar staff, like the bar staff's like boyfriend, one other guy.
They got movies playing on the TVs.
And then the four of us, right. And then the four of us watching the Bulls. And they're like wiping cups. They're pulling up the bar mats on the thing. Like, it's obvious that it is time to go.
Stacking the chairs.
And now we're screwed because the plan was to record this podcast at the bar. But now we're going to have to ask awkwardly to, like, record this thing. So if you could just imagine the cringe moment that happened when somebody said, when I think it was Woody, the Oak Park Woody, that says, hey, these guys want to record a podcast here. And just the way that sounds, because podcasts are long and they're cleaning. And I'm like, no, it's not a podcast. And I was like, well, and then we all look at each other and we're like, well, it's a podcast. And then finally Ray.
It's a short one. It's a short one.
Exactly. And then finally Ray's like, it's only like 10, 15 minutes. And they were cool with us at that point because obviously they knew what we did at that moment because of Woody. He's a regular there. And so they gave us this little back end of the thing. But then it's silent because they have to turn off the TVs. So it's like there's no ambiance. We're just like in this booth. It's just so weird. But it ended up being really good. So you should check out the Daily Score podcast, this last one. Mark Grody and I, along with Ray Diaz, kind of break down the game, what our thoughts were, you know, as to what happened. What were the standout moments? I mean, Coby White had an incredible spin move during the game, sliced the defenders, got to the rack. I mean, you know, DeMar DeRozan is just mid-range assassin. Just makes it look easy. Coby getting to the cup. I mean, it was just really, it felt just very much like a Bulls, regular Bulls game that I watch all the time, except the ball was actually going through the net a lot for the Bulls, which was interesting. And then the Hawks were taking, I mean, to Tuck's point, they were taking terrible shots. It was bad. But you got to shout out Coby White. I mean, putting up 40 points in a playoff game, what I would call a playoff game. I know it's a play-in. I understand the difference. But it's still, like I said, if you watched Lakers, Pelicans, if you watched Golden State, Sacramento, and you talked to those fan bases that were at those games, that were watching them, if you were to talk to any of the Bulls games, all Bulls fans that were there at the UC yesterday, they would all tell you that it was a playoff game, that's how they felt in that moment. So when Coby comes through with 40-something, it says a lot. But Nick Friedel, talking to Mully and Hall earlier, you know, threw a little humble sauce on Coby White's performance last night. Take a listen.
I think it's a great moment for Coby White, but I think it's a really solid building block for the organization as a whole. What they have struggled with repeatedly in the last few years is taking a guy in the draft and developing that player to a point where they get better and better and better. The name that pops to mind is Lauri Markkanen. They were all in on his development. It just didn't happen for him in Chicago. He goes to Cleveland, then Utah, and all of a sudden, he's an all-star. Now, can Coby White get there? We're going to see. But, David, what strikes me is you've got that TNT graphic the other night during the West play-in games, and it's showing Zach LaVine. I mean, Zach LaVine has been injured. He's just not the foundational piece that the Bulls want him to be. He hasn't been that guy. DeMar DeRozan, for as solid as he is at the end of his career. He's not going to be that star piece that leads a team through the postseason anymore. Could Coby White potentially be one of those guys? We're going to see. I think it's way too early to tell. And again, I temper all this by reminding everybody, the Hawks stink.
Yeah,
so
that's
to
true.
Go and get yeah. 42 off Atlanta, all right, you know, cool. It was a big game. They obviously had to get it for their season to continue, but the Hawks are terrible. So I think it's a great confidence builder, and it's another reminder for a newer Bulls staff, hey, this is working. What you guys are doing and what he's been able to do this season without LaVine and still without Ball and without these pieces around him, he has changed the course of his career. But any good player has to be able to maintain that and build off of it. So I think it's too early to put him into a category right now just because we haven't seen it that much from him still.
That's Nick Friedell talking to Mully and Haw earlier today about Coby White. And, I mean, there are truths in the statement, right? The Atlanta Hawks are a 10 seed, not a good squad. Coby White, brilliant performance, unfortunately, against a team that seemed uninterested last night at certain moments. But the fact of the matter is, to put up 42 points is not easy against any team on any night, right? There's a lot of people playing Atlanta Hawks throughout the season, playing bad teams throughout the season, and they're not putting up 40-something points. So something to think about there when you're looking at, you know, this Bull squad and what it can do. I mean, again, you go to Miami, this is what you are. Let's not forget, we're treating it as if we're holding the Bulls to some ridiculous standard. The Bulls are in the play-in. The Bulls are at the bottom of that, you know, tier, but they're trying to prove that they are, you know, the best of what that is. And so what? And then they play the Boston Celtics. That's what happens in the playoffs. If you're the 8 seed, you go play the number 1 seed. That's what you do. Don't come for my Bulls fandom. Just don't do it. All right. Let's switch gears. Talk.
It's your fault, Gabe.
I know. Yeah,
they're
it's not my
they're
fault.
Bad because you cheer them on too much.
I haven't paid for a Bulls ticket in so long because I've been working here at this station and for down the hall for so long. I rarely pay for a ticket. So it ain't me that's buying the tickets. No, I'm saying it because people are like, oh, it's because you tell the fans that it's okay. It's like, well, it's not my money that's making the Bulls buy, you know, whatever you think your excuse is. Don't get me started, bro. We'll do this a little bit later. I got till 9 o'clock. I got a lot of time to vent here on this station. We don't have a ton of guests either. But we do have one coming up. Kyron Samuels, senior consultant at Defiant Takes, of course. He's a writer, an analyst, former all-conference offensive lineman to Jackson State. Just 4-year pro. Good guy. We're going to get a chance to talk to him. He has some insight onto some of the top offensive linemen in this year's draft. But we've also heard that it's also one of the deepest. So who are some names maybe that the Bears might be thinking about in the third round? For that, we talk to Kyron Samuels after the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez, the biggest Bulls fan, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.